We are on Lamed Amud Aleph. We are six lines down. Masiv Rav Ibi Bar Ovin. We're still in the question of at what point is this an act of shechita? I was thinking about it afterwards yesterday, and I realized that we did have a similar discussion in Menachos when we talked about karbanos that have matirin. So you have different stages at which it actually becomes an act of bringing a karban. When is the matir? If I have two matirin, is it the beginning of it? Is it the end of it? So there was a similar discussion over there about that. But in any case, we had a machlokas in which Reish Lakish quoted Levi Saba as saying it's at the end of the act that it becomes an act of shechita, and Rabbi Yochanan said it's from the beginning. So we try to bring proof from the issue of Los Yishchat al Chameitz Dam Zimchi. When a carbon pesach becomes a carbon pesach becomes a shlamim, meaning lo sishchad al chametz dam zivchi, means if I shecht the carbon pesach while I possess chametz, while anyone in my chabura possesses chametz, we have violated a lo saaseh. That applies whenever I bring the carbon pesach, meaning even if I take the animal that was originally designated as a carbon pesach and it survives pesach only to become a shlamim, then I'm in violation of Los Yishchad al Chametz Dam Zivchi if I bring it as a shlamim and I own chametz. All right, let me see if I can explain that a little bit better. The carbon pesach has two lives, so to speak. We said that it's brought as a carbon pesach, but in the event that it's not brought as a carbon pesach, it can become a shlamim. We're going to talk about how it becomes a shlamim a little bit in a moment. But practically, it can become a shlamim. Just like when I shechted as a carbon pesach on the 14th of Nisan, if I possess chametz, I am violating a lo saaseh. So too, if I shechted as a carbon shlamim later on and I possess chametz, I'm in violation of lo sishchad al chametz dam zivchi. That's the rule that we need to know in order to begin this conversation. The second piece of this, beyond that point, is the question of just how it becomes a shlamim. If I shecht a carbon pesach at the wrong time, right after Pesach was over, and I don't say this is a shlamim, is it a pasul carbon pesach, or is it automatically a shlamim because, well, it's the wrong time? How does it actually become one? Do we require akira? Do we require that you uproot its identity as a carbon pesach in order to convert it into being a shlamim, or is it automatically a shlamim? And that's where the discussion begins. Masiv Rav Ibi Bar Ovin. Rav Ibi Bar Ovin asks, we learn the following in Pesachim. Uva Moed, if you shecht the carbon pesach on Yom Tov, instead of shechting it on the 14th of Nisan, you shecht it on Yom Tov, lishmo, for the sake of carbon pesach, you didn't convert it into a shlamim, so then potter, even if you own chametz, you are not liable for lo sishchad al chametz dam zivchi. Why? Because if I shecht the carbon pesach on the wrong date and I call it a pesach, it's just a pasul carbon. Lo sishchad al chametz dam zivchi assumes that you actually did a proper karban. If it's not a proper karban, there is no violation. Shelo lishmo chayev. If, however, I shecht the karban pesach on pesach not as a karban pesach, but instead as a shlamim, then I'm going, and I own chametz, then indeed I'm going to be chayev, I'm going to be liable if I own chametz, because now it's simply a shlamim. That's the end of the original quote that Ravidi Bravin brings. However, Vahavinan Ba, in the Gemara in Pesachim, they ask, what you mean when you say lishmo and shalo lishmo? Taima dishalo lishmo. The reason why you are going to be chayev for having done it with chametz is because you specifically did it shalo lishmo. You didn't do it as a carbon pesach. You did it as something else, as a shlamim. Hastama, the implication is that if you did it without re-identifying this as a shlamim, Potter, you will be Potter because we assume it's a carbon pesach. They are my Potter, but why should you be Potter? Pesach b'shar yimos hashana shlamim. Automatically, it's a carbon shlamim. You shouldn't need to re-identify it. Shmami na pesach b'shar yimos hashana boy akira. The Gemara in Pesachim asks, does this mean that at other times, other than the 14th of Nisan, it isn't enough to simply shecht the carbon pesach and now presto, it's a shlamim, but you require active re-identification, active re-ID, as I put it on your sheet, that's what I need to do? That's the question in Pesachim. If I shecht the Korban Pesach other than the 14th of Nisan, is it automatic that it becomes a Shlamim, or do I require active re-identification? This source seems to indicate that you require Shalom Lishmo. You actually have to say, this isn't the Korban Pesach. The Amar of Chia Bar Gamda, and Chia Bar Gamda in Pesachim answered, Nizraka Mipicha Bura, this answer was thrown from the mouth of the group, meaning together, collaboratively, we came up with the answer. But Amr, we said, they said, Ha'acha b'mayaskinan, what is the case here? Where is it that I require active re-identification? Not your run-of-the-mill case, Shechta the Pesach on the wrong day. Rather, a case in which there was still a possibility that the animal could have been brought as a Korban Pesach. Remember, the Korban Pesach is only good for its first year. So normally, you miss the 14th of Nisan, that's it. It's for sure a Shlamim. So it makes sense to say there's no need to actively re-identify. There's nothing else that this is going to become other than a Shlamim. But in this case, there was a possibility. The deal was that the Bailim were Tamei at the first Korban Pesach. The owners were Tamei. And therefore they were pushed off to Pesach Sheni, and therefore this animal still could become a Korban Pesach. And therefore the Stam Shchita, shechting it without actively declaring it a Shlamim, leads me to believe it is in fact a Korban Pesach. And it's on the wrong day. It's a Pesach on the wrong day. The Vahayhu Deboy Akira, Ha'acher Loboy Akira. In this case, you have to uproot it because it could still be a Korban Pesach, but normally you do not need to uproot it. Okay, that's all background. Everything we did in the last 10 lines has just been to set up our question. This issue of active re-identification of the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara asks, if you're going to say that the whole act is shchita from the very beginning, then ifsalei mitchilas shchita. That means that your shchitas Pesach at the wrong time in the very beginning already disqualified it because you didn't call it a shlamim. I shechted the Korban Pesach on the wrong day. The very beginning was an act of shchita. Not an act of just, well, there's a flaw in the trachea of my lamb or my goat. But this was actually an act of shechita without uprooting it to call it a Korban Shlamim, and therefore what? It's possible, right? It's possible. I shechted a Korban Pesach that should have been re-identified as a Shlamim, and I didn't re-identify it. That means it's a Korban Pesach that's possible. And therefore, if I own chametz, I shouldn't be liable for lo tishchad al chametz dam zivchi. Therefore, I'm going to be potter for owning chametz. If so, le mitchila shchita. It's already disqualified at the beginning of the shchita. So then it makes sense. When you told me that if I shecht it when I own chametz, I am potter, that makes sense. Of course I'm potter, because at the beginning, I already disqualified it. I rendered it no good. But if you want to tell me that the beginning is not shchita at all, in that case, once I cut it a little bit means half of the kana or any of the veshet, right? Half the trachea or any of the esophagus, now it's no good for use as a Korban Pesach anymore, because what is it? It's a trefa. Right? It's a trefa now. Therefore, it's no good as a Korban Pesach, and therefore, what does it automatically become? A Shlamim. What greater uprooting of the name is there than the fact that this isn't going to live to Pesach? Now, it's a Shlamim. Idach ki kashachit Shlamim kashachit. So when you conclude the act of Shechita, it's automatically a Shlamim, and therefore you should be liable for lo sishchad al chametz dam zivchi. If you're going to tell me that the act of Shechita began at the beginning, when you did it, you started your act of shechita when it was still identified as a Korban Pesach, and it's a Pesach that's pasul, so I understand. Now I understand. You did a shechita of a Korban Pesach pasul, therefore you're not liable for lo tishchad al chametz. But if you're going to tell me that the beginning was not an act of shechita, the act of shechita only began later on, once it had already changed identities to be a shlamim, then you should be liable for lo tishchad al chametz dam zivchi, even though you didn't do an active re-identification of this animal. Remember, all of this is within the case in which they're due to bring Pesach Sheni.
Being able to split the beginning of the same act of shechita.
Yeah, that's correct.
So in an ordinary case, yes, the shechita, wouldn't you be the same argument? Wouldn't it also be a trefa as you begin the incision?
No, because here it's an animal which is only here it's an animal which is only identified as a carbon Pesach because you could bring it on the 14th of Iyar. Once I render that impossible, it's going to have to be re-identified.
Can't live that long with that.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, this is.
Normally, just keep the skull that same day, right?
So that's our approach. So Amar Le Abaye, but Abaye says no. He says it's true. This is no longer going to be brought as a Korban Pesach. However, it still has the value of a Korban Pesach. Theoretically, you could redeem it, and therefore it doesn't become a Shlomim automatically. It's the Chol Moed. So Chol Moed could be the 16th, 17th of Nisan.
Could be in the beginning of the year as well.
So I was wondering about liability for owning chametz at other times, but in any case, the word b'moed, gives me the out. Can we do three lines? That'll conclude Abaye's point. And if you'll tell me, this thing has to stand in front of a beis din, lots of luck. Your shechted animal ain't going anywhere. So how are you going to evaluate it? Vatnan. Shachat b'shnayim or rov shnayim b'adayni mefarcheses harei kechaya l'chol devarei. He says it's not true because I have a mishnah that's actually not so. But he says I have a mishnah that if you shechted the trachea and the esophagus or even the majority and it is still kicking, the harei kechaya l'chol devarei is considered to be alive, and therefore you should be able to do the hamada v'aracha. So first of all, Matal had something he wanted.
No, I just want to say Rashi said the case is that you lost your carbon pesach on the 14th.
Right.
You brought a real carbon pesach. And then you found the original one on Yom Tov.
Right.
And then because you shechted it.
Right.
Why does it have to be that case? Why can't it just be a case where a guy...
And because you want to find a case where it was never possible.
What?
You want to find a case in which it was never possible. So the easiest way is that it was lost.
So it can't be that somebody didn't bring his carbon paste up on the 14th, he brought it in on the 15th. That's automatically possible?
You mean the guy just didn't do carbon Pesach?
On the 14th. Yeah. And he brought, why did Rashi bring in, he brought in Rav Shimon. That has to be a case where he lost, you designated one, you lost it, you brought another one, and then you...
Right, No, the reason why he's doing it is because he's dealing with a case in which a guy did. He's not on our Tame case. He's just dealing with a general case.
So you fulfilled
your carbon, and therefore this isn't a carbon Pesach.
So why is it Rashi for Pesach now, for Pesach Sheni? If you're ready
it's not, that's not the carbon Pesach, that's not the Pesach Sheni case, that's a Stam case. That's the case that we started with in the beginning. The Ubamoi Lishmo Pater Shlo Lishmo Chayev. That's what he's explaining.
But the minute he's on, wait a second.
You see what I'm saying? You see the Rashi you're reading, the one that starts Chayev, is going back to the beginning of what Rabbi Dibaravin quoted, Shlo Lishmo Chayev. It's not on the case where he's pushed to Pesach Sheni. Sorry, Yaakov had a question. No? Yes, Alan.
The minute he starts the Shechita, how can he use it for a carbon Pesach any longer?
So why wasn't it already removed from the status by being a Baal Mum? Unless you can tell me you can heal.
It's a pretty big scar. It's already a Baal Mum.
Right. So I was wondering as I was reading it whether there wasn't another way to read the line, and maybe that question should trigger that. Maybe the way to read the line is that if the Shechita begins, if you're calling it Shechita from the very beginning, right? If you're calling it Shechita from the very beginning, then at that moment, it already is pushed to be a Shlamim as at the time that you do your Shechita, because not just because it won't survive that long, but because it won't be eligible anymore, right? You're doing your Shechita, and because you're doing your Shechita on the wrong day. You're doing your Shechita in the middle of Pesach instead of doing it on Pesach Sheni. So at that moment, it's already pushed to being a Shlamim, and you should be liable for Los Yishchad al Chametz, as opposed to if the act of Shechita only begins later on, right? Begins later on, then at the beginning, you re-identify it as a Shlamim because now it's no longer usable, and then when you get to your act of Shechita, it's already a Shlamim. You know, it's not a function of it won't live until then. It's a function of, in the beginning of my cut, I am now re-identifying it via my cut. And therefore, either it was before the act of Shechita or during the act of Shechita. And I have to go back and look at it, but I thought there was maybe another way to read it.
Just cutting the skin, even if it's still surviving, it's still
right. Right.
Why is it good for Shlomo then? Why not?
Yeah, well, it's a Shlomo today. Because today it's... Because I can bring a Shlomo today.
That's right. It's not a moment.
Tosfos points out a couple of things on this. Number one, that you, Tosfos assumes you must be that you would remove the animal. We're talking about evaluating the animal and selling it off and all that. It must be that you would remove the animal from the mikdash and finish the shechita outside. Because if you don't finish the shechita, then it's an avela. It's going to the dogs, and you can't redeem kachim to feed them to the dogs. And if you finish it in the base hamikdash, then it's chulin ba'azara. So you can't redeem that either. It's usher.
Was the person aware that it was the 15th, or were they unaware? Or later on?
16th. Let's say they are aware.
Of the world.
Yeah, why not? I don't think it would make a difference. Toz also points out that the Mishnah that we cited here to prove that it's still alive and all that doesn't exist. So Toz says you deduce it from the law regarding Shechita La'avodah Zarah, where we say there's no Tumas Nevelos, there's no Tuma until the Pirkus stops. That says it was alive while it was still Mefarches. Rabbi Kiva Eger offers you a Mishnah in Mehilah, but I didn't understand what he was drawing from that Mishnah. I took a look for a while. I couldn't figure it. Okay, the upshot is that we thought to prove, based on the based on this Gemara in Psachim, we thought that we could argue that that Shechita must be Shechita already from the beginning. It's called Shechita from the very start. But now Abaye argues it's not so. So we conclude that discussion and we return to the general theme of our Mishnah. The general theme of our Mishnah was not the philosophical issue of when is it an act of Shechita. We were asking questions about what is an act of Shechita. What exactly are the qualifications and disqualifications of acts of Shechita? That's what this paragraph is supposed to be about. So we introduced the discussion of what we call Shechita Meforas, which means an obvious exposed cut, from the language of parua, to be exposed and open. So the Rav Yehuda says, citing Rav, I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rav. We're about midway down. If you shecht the neck of an animal in two or three places, the shechita is kosher. Rashi, in our Rashi alone, simply says you cut in different planes while going across the trachea, the esophagus. Meaning, if this is the vessel, this is the trachea, the esophagus, this pencil, you cut here, and then you moved up here, and then you moved down here, so you cut at different planes, at different levels along the trachea, along the esophagus, and in the end, you reached Roth. You reached the majority. Tosfos modifies Rashi and says it's not what Rashi meant, because then no individual cut is across the majority, and that's required. So Tosfos retains the idea that you cut across the majority. I'm sorry, that you cut at different planes, but one of your cuts was actually across the majority of it. He also quotes the Sheiltos of Achai Gaon, who says that's not what it is. It's along one plane, but it's like a dotted line. So you cut like in, going across, but without any one cut being the majority. And then he also quotes Rabbeinu Hanano, who says that maybe it's that you cut, you have the trachea and the esophagus. I would need two pencils for this one. But you cut the trachea on one plane at one height, and then the esophagus at another point. And that's his problem. But Rabbeinu Hanano is a problem, because we said Shnayim o Shlosha Mekomos, two or three places, and you only have two vessels. So Tosfos says that's a little dodgy. But the core idea here is that you're cutting at different levels along the vessels, and he says Shechita Sok Shera, that's still kosher. So says Rav. So far so good? This is a trick. This is a nice trick doing this. Ki amrisa kamei de Shmuel, but then Rav Yehuda says, I taught this in front of Shmuel also, Amar li ba'inan shechita meforas veleka. And he said to me, this is no good. You require an exposed cut, a cut that everybody can see, and this cut is not going to be visible. The Be'uri Hadaf asks that you're talking about cutting across the veshet here as well. Any minimal cut in the veshet already renders it a trefa. So it must be, and this can go back to our question from before, it must be that if you're doing it as part of a shechita act, it's not vulnerable to treifa concerns, because this is part of doing a full shechita. But in any case, Shmuel says that this is no good, it's not meforaz, your cut is not considered to be exposed for everybody to see, it's not visible. You do one cut across, that's visible. You do a little cut here, a little cut here, a little cut there, people don't see the shechita. That's the concern.
Wouldn't there be pauses between all these?
So, maybe not. Maybe if the vessel shifts in your hands, you know, as you're holding it in place, and then it shifts, and then your cut ends up going across a different part of it, like it it goes inward or whatever it is. The animal flexes. Not having ever, I've watched Shechita, but not having ever done Shechita, it's hard to imagine how you do this, but I think it must be that the vessel shifts in your hand, and therefore you end up missing the surface for part of it. Reish Lakish supports this idea that you require an open, exposed cut. Reish Lakish said, how do you know Shechita should be mefaras? Shnemar, as the pasuk says, Chetz shachut l'shonam, mirmam diber. He's playing on the word shachat. Literally, that pasuk means their tongue is like an arrow drawn across the bow. They speak with trickery. We know people like this. So he says, "Chet shachud l'shonam." People say one thing, they mean another. They say what they say in secret. But the way he takes it over here, the application of it is that it's like an arrow that it won't cut in two places. Meaning the arrow goes through once. The arrow doesn't come back. Right, it's not a JFK bullet in the conspiracy theories. The bullet goes through once. The arrow goes through once, not multiple cuts. Masiv Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar challenges this idea. He says, "Wait a minute. We learned the following case: Beis Ochsen Besakin Veshochten. If two people hold a knife and shecht, Afilu Echad Milam. I'm sorry.
Same knife."
That's what we have to find out in the Gemara. Just wait for the Gemara. Wait for the Gemara. Just do me a favor. Okay? Beis Ochsen Besakin Veshochten. Afilu Echad Milamala Ve'Echad Milamata Shechita Sok Sheira. If two people are holding the knife and they are cutting, right now we don't know how many knives are involved. One is cutting above, and one is cutting below. So my default assumption is that there are two people with separate knives. One is cutting lower down on the vessel. One is cutting up further up on the vessel. And you say, Shechita Sok Sheira. This is a kosher Shechita. Amai, why? V'aleka Shechita Meforaz. Now it won't be an exposed Shechita. So Amalei, Rabbi Yirmiya Mishnah Seinu B'sakin Echad U'Shnei Bnei Adam. So Rabbi Yirmiya says, our Mishnah is talking about two people holding the same knife. So Rashi says, then what did Echad Lamata V'Echad Lamala mean? So Rashi says that they're gripping it on an angle. That's the idea. The Rashash says, I don't understand. Then in that case, you could have taught this with one person. Holding the knife on an angle is not a chiddush of two different people holding it. It just means if one person is shechting it, and instead of going across the vessel laterally, he goes across at an angle. And the language should have been kikulmus, which is the term we use for cutting on an angle in the Gemara itself. So if you take a look at the Rambam on our Mishnah, the Rambam says it's not what it means. What it means is that one is holding milamata milamala means you're cutting laterally, but one is holding one end of the knife, and the other is holding the other end of the knife. And the more I look at Rashi, the more I think that actually may be what Rashi meant. Not what the Rashash said Rashi meant. So one is holding one end of the knife here, and the other one is holding the other end of the knife there. Presumably there are handles at both ends, otherwise it's going to hurt. And they're cutting across like that, and you're saying Shechita Sok Sheira, the Shechita is kosher. I might have thought to disqualify the Shechita, because they might end up pressing into the neck. You might end up doing drasa, but it's okay.
This Rambam says two people instead of saying one person, because the two people is more likely would be an angle. It's a little more common.
Maybe.
Because
the language still doesn't fit, though. Sorry?
It's just a Rashi.
Okay, good. But that's what the Rambam says in his Perush to our Mishnah. So our Mishnah is talking about one knife, two people, and there is no issue of Shechita Meforas. Amalei Rabbi Abba, to which Rabbi Abba says, Ihachi, if that's true, Hainu Detani Allah Ein Choshishin Shema Yitrifu Ze Al Ze. We learned on that case that we're not concerned that they're going to make it into a treifa. So, Iyamit Bishlam Abishte Sakina Mushne Bnei Adam, if it's two people with separate knives, I understand that language. Shapir, that language makes sense. Mao Desema Lechosh Doma Samchia Adadi, Vahilo Asilamevad Ruba, Vahilo Asilamevad Ruba. The concern is that maybe each one thinks the other one is doing the majority cut, and I'm just finishing it off, and the result is neither of them is going to cut the majority. Kamash Mulan Dein Choshishin, and that's why you need to say Shechita Sok Sheira. But if you're talking about one knife and two people holding the same knife, the language of Shema Yitrifu isn't appropriate. Shema Yidrosu Zal Zemi Bayala. Your concern is for drasa, that he's going to press the knife into the neck. So Amar le Rabbi Avin, to which Rabbi Avin answered, Tene ein choshen shema yidrosu ze al ze. Yeah, you're right, that's what it should say. It should say the concern is for drasa. So the upshot is that you can't support Rav or Shmuel from this case. We still don't know. Do I require shchita mefaras, an exposed shchita? Masiv Rabbi Avin. So Rabbi Avin says, well, let me offer you a challenge to Shmuel, against Shmuel, supporting Rav, that shchita mefaras is kosher. Now, we learned, shachad es haveshet lamata ves hakana lamala, right? Like what Rabbi Hananel thought we were talking about initially. You shachted the esophagus lower down, and you shachted the trachea further up. Oh, it's haveshet lamala ves hakana lamata, or vice versa. You shachted the esophagus further up, and the kana, the trachea, further down. Lamata. Shchita sog shera. We say it's kosher. End of quote. Amai, why? Va'alaka shchita mechoraz. That cut will not be properly exposed. The answer is no, it's where you did it on a direct diagonal line, like a quill. The end of the quill, when you take a feather and you make a slope there, so it cuts on a diagonal. You cut on a diagonal. That's what he did with the neck of this creature, and it is shchita meforas, it still becomes exposed. So we can't prove anything. Ha'u Tara, we get a little story here to conclude this discussion. Ha'u Tara, the ishchit b'shnayim u'shloshim makomos. There was an ox that was shechted that way, two or three spots. All Rabbi Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta shakal mishufrei shufrei. So Rabbi Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta, demonstrating that this is fine, takes from the best of the best of the meat. Amale Rabbi Zeres. Rabbi Zeres said, "Limadatanu Rabbeinu, you taught us Mishnah Senu b'shnei sakinim u'shnei bnei adam. Our Mishnah must be two knives and two people. And you don't require shchita mefaras. You don't require the exposed shchita. So it would seem from his action that we don't require exposed shchita." Okay, good. They move from the discussion of exposed shchita to the discussion, other discussions of also non-exposed cuts, but it's in terms of chalada, the issue of tunneling. We said that the knife has to be visible, the knife has to be exposed when you cut. So we talk about various cases and how we handle them. Am Rav Yudah Marav. Rav Yudah says, citing Rav, Hechlet es hasakin bein simon lesimon upsako. If he tunnels the knife in, he pokes the knife in between the trachea and the esophagus, and he splits the vessel that way, it's not a shchita act. You're not drawing the knife across anymore. The psula, no good. Tachas ha'or, but if it's just underneath the hide, kshera, then it's going to be kosher. Maikomashmalans, the Gemara says, what did you teach me? I knew that. Tanena, we've learned. If you poke the knife in underneath the second vessel and you cut it, Rabbi Yesheva Omer Nevela, Rabbi Yesheva says that's a Nevela. This wasn't an act of Shechita at all. And Rabbi Akiva Omer Trefa, Rabbi Akiva says that it's actually viewed as a Trefa that you now shechted. You did a proper act of Shechita. So he accepted as an act of Shechita. So what? So the... In the case in which
it's
I poked,
you're just saying it's not a nevela,
right? Then, but that means that it's a technically a proper act of shchita.
It's not. You can't eat it.
But it's not going to right. It's not going to communicate tumma. The
chalada, but it's at least considered shchita.
Yes. So he says, Imi mas nisin, but had you drawn it from that Mishnah, hava amina, I would have thought, hani mili milamata lamala, delo kavit kiderashchita, I would have said it's not called kosher. Bottom line, whether you take the first view or the second view, it's not called kosher because you cut from below up, meaning you poke the knife in and you pull the knife out. Up and down here doesn't mean up and down like you're looking at it, because remember, the whole cut is supposed to be bottom up.
So if you're starting from behind both pipes, then you're coming towards the front of the knife instead of the back of the knife.
Right, right. Or here in the middle, you're in...
If you're starting between the two, it's possible you're still going down towards the back of the neck.
I hear. Yeah. So he says that in that case, you're going from, I call it back of the neck to the front of the neck. I suppose that's as good an orientation as you're going to get. Deloka avid kedera shchita, that's not the way of shchita. Avo milamalo lemata, but if you're going into, you're cutting into the neck, deka avid kedera shchita, where it is derech shchita. In other words, you poke the knife in. between the two, but you're still cutting towards the back of the neck, Ema Shapir Dami. I might have said that still counts. It's still valid. Caught Mashmo and teach me that it's not so. Tosfos says this idea of poking the knife in between them is just a normal case. It could have been also where you poke the knife in and then you cut both in the same direction. It's just normal, theoretically, that the vessel shifts. So as you're cutting across, you end up poking in between. It happens relatively simply. That this could happen. The Biri Adaf had a piece on here also, but I want to make sure to go weiter. The Tachas Ha'or, if you cut beneath the hide, we said Kshera. Be Rav Amri, Tachas Ha'or Eini Yodeya. And the Yeshiva of Rav, they said, we're not so sure if you did Chalada under the hide. Ibayalohu. So the Gemara asks, Be Rav Da Amri, Tachas Ha'or Eini Yodeya. If you're not willing to rule on where the knife is hidden by the hide, Tachas Matleis Mahu. What if it's beneath a cloth? Tachas Semer Mesubach Mahu. What if it's underneath wool? The wool gets tangled up and you can't see. Teku. Rashi says, Teku on an Isser is Lahachmer. It means that we're not going to eat this. Boy, Rav Papa asks, Hechle b'miut simanim emahu. What if you did chalada on the minority of the simanim? Rashi says this means you did the majority of the cut fine, and then you did chalada on the minority that remained. Tosfos says, I don't understand. Who cares what's left? Once you did your majority cut, you're fine. So Rabbi Natam says it was the opening miut that was chalada. And this is a question, despite the fact that we answered the other questions, now did Chalada on the miut that begins it? Then Tosos challenges that because he says Shehiya, after you do a miut, ruins things. So why wouldn't Chalada of the miut ruin things? Then he brings Rabbi Oshaya, who suggests this very interesting case. You cut most of one, and then you did Chalada for the rest of that one, and then you shecht most of the second one, and you did Shehiya. But the whole discussion, Rabbi Oshaya, I'm not convinced that I understand at all what he was doing. But the answer is Teku. So we're in good shape. Chalada on the miut simanim is Teku. New Mishnah. We now know that Shechita Meforas is Kshera based on the statement that you're allowed to, or the action, I should say, in which Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta actually ate. That would seem to indicate that the Shechita Meforas is fine if you take the story as decisive. The Chalada is a bad thing to do. Don't do the Chalada. That's going to be Psula with a whole bunch of Tekus that will resolve the Isser. Now we want to know about other cases of abnormal Shechitas. The Mishnah says, HaShochet Beis Roshin Ke'echad Shechitas Okshera. If you shech two heads at once, the Shechitas Kosher. I put in the footnote, or Moshe Feinstein, I came across this, it's something completely different yesterday. In the Tshuva, asks why you can shech two heads at once and have it be Kosher. Isn't that Enos in Mitzvos Chavilos Chavilos? You're not supposed to do mitzvahs in bunches. So he...
Two-headed animal.
So, right. So he gives a fascinating answer. He says, if you're talking about chulin, the mitzvah is, if you're eating meat, do shechita, right? So he says, the mitzvah of eating meat is satisfied with one neck or with two necks. It's all the meat that you want to eat, do shechita. So therefore, the two necks is really one mitzvah. It's not two separate mitzvahs. If it's kachim, if it's karbanos, this is the fascinating part. If it's karbanos, he says, for sure it's no problem. We say einos in mitzvos chavilos chavilos because if you do mitzvos in bundles, it looks like you're rushing, like you want to get it done. That's why we try to avoid it. You're not supposed to look like it's distasteful to you. But avod in the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be done in a rush. Zrizin hein, right. It's supposed to be. So therefore there's no concern about what it looks like. It's supposed to be done that way. That's why it's not a problem. Of course, we disqualify by kachim anyway because of tisbachuhu, not to do both at once. Right, that we saw already yesterday. You do tisbachu, tisbacheyu, you cut one at a time. But technically, midi oraisa, it would be fine. It would not be a violation of einos emitzos chavilos chavilos. In any case, Mishnah says, Hashochet beis roshin ge'achat shechitas ukshere. You do two heads at once, the shechita is kosher. Shnayim ochzen besakin v'shochten. If two people are holding a knife, and they are cutting, and now we know what this case is, because we already saw it previously in the Gemara, right? The case of two holding the knife means two holding the same knife, right? Whether it's and they're cutting along an angle, right? Afilu echad lamala v'echad lamata, one above, one below. So Tosfos says they're holding the two ends of the knife. Rashi suggested maybe they're cutting across, they're cutting diagonally. Shechitas ukshere, we say that's kosher too, and we don't worry about drasa and all of that. Hitiz es harosh v'bas achas psula. If you cut off the head at once, That's no good. That is puzzle. And the reason is, because you cut into the neck, the assumption is this is drasa. You pressed in instead of doing a slice across. Hayashochet, but if you were doing an act of shchita, meaning that you're going laterally, vihitizes harosh bevas achas, and it happens to be that in one drawing of the knife, the head comes off, im yesh pesakin melot savar kshera, if the knife has the width of a neck, it's kasher. Rashi explains what that means is the width of the neck in addition to the width of the neck. In other words, two widths of the neck of this beast. The idea is to ensure that you do a lateral approach. And Tosafot says, it doesn't mean you have to actually use that entire width across the neck, but you need to have the space to be able to cut across. That's the idea. And therefore, if he were to cut off two heads with one blow, with one act of shechita, then your knife needs to have two neck widths plus a third neck width in order to be kosher. When is this true? This assumes bevas achas, that you did it with one slash of the knife. The avolim holich vehevi afilu kolshu afilu beizmel kshera. But if you actually went back and forth, then I don't care how wide or not wide your knife is, even if it's nothing in width, even if it's like an izmel, which is a term we usually use for a mila knife, the doesn't make a difference. The shchita is going to be kosher. Either it doesn't, the width doesn't matter to us. Okay, that's the Mishnah. So the Gemara asks, Menahani Mili, how do I know drasa is no good? That you're not allowed to press into the neck, that you need a slicing motion. Right. So Amar Shmuel, the Amar Kra, Chetz Shachut L'Shonam, Mirmadi Ber. He quotes the same pasuk we quoted earlier, that his point is the use of the word Shchita, and he takes Shchita to mean drawn across the bow, like an arrow drawn across the bow, where you pull it back and you slide it, and then you let it go. That's the way that the Shchita works, not pressing in. Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, in the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, they taught, Vishachat, the Torah says, Ein vishachat elo umashach. The definition of vishachat is umashach, to draw it across. V'cheinu omer zahav shachut. And so the pasuk says in Malachim, gold that is drawn, mashuch. Rashi says that it's soft, it's ductile or malleable or one of those words. It's something that you could easily modify. And he says the chetz shachut is the idea that you can actually make it into chutin. You could actually be able to draw it very thin. So that's another reference. This shenitve kechutu, it can be spun like thread. Tashma, alternatively, chetz shachut l'shonam. He quotes our pasuk as well of chetz shachut l'shonam. Good. Rava have a badik le gira le Rabbi Yochanan bar Tachlifa. So this is great. This is stunt shchita. Rava checked an arrow for Rabbi Yochanan bar Tachlifa v'shachat ba'ova v'hadi deparach, and he shechted a bird while it was flying. I'm amazed by this idea that the Amorim are taking the time to do stunt shchita. I mean, this doesn't strike me. I guess it's a good field trip, but wow. And how many tries were there in this? To the Gemara, he says, but wait a minute, how can you do that? V'dilma avi chalada. Maybe he's going to do chalada, because if the arrow goes into the neck, now it's not shchita meforas. It's not an exposed cut. It's tunneling. Chazinan gidfi demiframi. No, because you could see the feathers around the neck that were cut, that were severed. And had it done chalada on the inside, then it wouldn't have cut the feathers on the outside of the front of the neck. The baboy kisui, but wait a minute, you need kisui adam. And if you'll tell me while they cover it afterwards, the blood falls on the ground, and then you cover it. It's not true. That's not how kisui works. We learned, I'm following our edition, for the Rift's edition, see the margin. When you shecht, you have to put blood below and above, sorry, dirt below and above the dam. The Rift adds it up for tichoach, specifically. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'chisau be'afar, cover it in dirt. So offer lo nemar ela be'afar, not cover it dirt, but cover it in dirt. Melamed sheshochet zarach she'idin offer lamata ve'offer lamala. You need dirt below and dirt above. So his answer is demazman le'offer the kula pitka or the kula piksa. The answer is you cover the entire area with dirt, and then you do the stun shchita, and then you cover it over again. And that's the idea, and that's how he managed to do it. Good.